We're in Psalm 108 today. Make your way there, please. A lot of what we'll share today ties into what we're going to be seeing here in Psalm 108, 109, and 110. The battle cry, the cry of the warrior, preparation for battle. You heard that talked about today. Being in the battle, you heard that, you know, even a testimony during hunting situation where something is taken from you quite rudely, and then God, looking to God instead of looking for revenge and taking a shot at somebody, literally. So beautiful. The preparation Maddie shared about, Christy connected with that, praying before, being prepared. James led us off with the proper equipment for all of that. In Ephesians 6, the listings there of the things that God would have us to wear. Never leaving home, in fact, never being in home without it. We constantly are to be wearing these things and clothing ourselves with this light. So Psalm 108 and 109 in particular bring us back to that battleground of the believer. We got into some of 108 last week, culminating there with about his mercy being as high as the heavens. It's great, it's powerful, it's immeasurable, his truth reaching to the skies. And we brought that into the and the created understanding that God has made a universe that is so finely tuned that just the truth of that is mind-boggling. His creation, we will forever be, as long as it's still here, we'll be learning about it and discovering it and being in awe of the things that we discover, just of his created truth, just of science, of the things that he's created and that we study and come to know, the ologies, biology, and all of the ologies are the study and knowing of things. And it seems like the more that we dig, it's the more questions we have and the more awe-inspiring things we discover. But here we see that it's talking about his truth and his mercy being on par with that, being immeasurable, being undiscoverable. It's just like there's more and more to discover in this mystery that, as it would describe in the scripture, the mystery of God love for us. In that fine tuning of his creation, which took 6 days, we also know that there's a fine tuning of the cross, the perfect, perfect medicine for each one of us is the grace of God. Who can measure that? The love of God. Who can measure its length, its breadth, its width, its depth? Who can measure the dimensions of God's love? So finely tuned to the cross to heal our hearts. So of all the things of creation, of all the beauty and splendor that surrounds us, nothing should compare to what God's love demonstrated on the cross should do to our heart in its healing that it brings. Just talking with Mark in the back early this morning before everything began, and his experience, you know, and hearing some kids that have never even heard the gospel before, living years without even hearing the gospel, knowing that God loves them, and hearing it for the first time. It's amazing that we live in a culture surrounded with such media and presentation of the gospel on radio and TV and Bibles and books everywhere, YouTube and all of the things that we have. And yet there are people out there that have never even heard or understood that God loves them deeply, more than he's tuned the universe so perfectly to be able to support life. He's tuned the cross to heal your heart, to show and declare to you that he loves you perfectly. His love is perfect towards you. It's perfect. So that's where we left off last Sunday, and we're picking up there, but kind of transitioning to the breakfast of champions, to talk about the battle cry that we have, to talk about the war ground that we have. Psalm 108 is bringing that to bear in the national level, and 109 is at the personal level. When we have that person in our life that's the antagonist, the one that's irritating us, that kind of causes us to be able not see anything but that. So Psalm 108, I'll just read it right through. Oh God, my heart is fixed, that's prepared. like a breakfast being fixed. Terry read a psalm this morning about that. All that I am from Psalm 103. All that preparation, all of yourself being prepared and presented before God. My heart is fixed, it's prepared. Here I am, God. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. What's the glory of man? It's he's the image bearer of God. God has given us the capacity to love. We were made in the image of God. What does that mean? God is love. You are image bearers of this love. That love became corrupt in our disobedience in the garden. Sin entered the world. Love became distorted. You've seen the funny mirrors at the fairgrounds and stuff. You get a big head and, you know, a little body and all this stuff going on. And it's distorted. There's been a distortion of mankind. That's what sin does. It distorts the perfect love. We're no longer that perfect representation of God's love anymore until the healer came to heal our hearts. This is our opportunity now to bear this love again perfectly, to be perfect lovers, to love people perfectly without hypocrisy, without all of these things that get in the way that cause it to be distorted, strings attached, conditional love, to love as he did. That's the opportunity that we have on this earth. Awake, psaltery, awake, harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. National level, getting ready for the battle. We have problems at national levels, globally. We brought up a web server at work. I work in the computer industry. It was a new web server. First one knocking on the door. When we opened it up, it was Russia. It was a dark website. We're here to attack. For our first customer was a Russian, very well-known dark web site. So we were able to block that. Praise God. But it's out there. We live in a circumference of evil now, globally. Now the battle cry, the preparation of the heart is to praise God, though, to present all of us before God every morning, to get ready for these battles that we have on the national and personal level. Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. The image that you see above there, thank you, Terry, for putting that up, is called a solar eclipse. What you're looking at is the moon in front of the sun. And it's something that we can't see normally, is the corona. You cannot normally see that. That's the corona. Until the moon blocks that out, that becomes fully visible. So we're going to be referencing that as an illustration of the glory of God. And the alignment that took place when Jesus came to this earth was a perfect alignment that culminated on the cross. No mystery that there was a period of darkness when Jesus died. A period of great darkness. An eclipse will last about 7 minutes, a perfect eclipse, a total one, will last about 7 minutes. Our next one is going to be in 2024 that we see here in the United States. This last one was in 2017, kind of went down the Carolina, across the Carolinas that way. But on the cross, when Jesus was perfectly aligned with the will of God, that was 3 hours. And some people will try to line up the eclipses that happened over history to find the exact date that he died and all of that, and to see if it was a natural eclipse. But this goes beyond a natural eclipse when it says the sun was darkened on that time, because it was 3 hours, not 7 minutes. When Peter asked, should we forgive 7 times? Jesus said, no, 7 times 70. That alignment that took place on the cross, that eclipse that happened, that great darkness that happened was to reveal the glory of God. Amen. This is the only time that you can look at the sun and not be blinded for these 7 minutes. This is the only time that you can look at the sun, and they still tell you, well, be careful because you don't know when it's going to pop, and they don't want people to get hurt. But you can look at the sun. It is safe to look at it during this time, during that time frame. This is the only time that we're able to. God dwells in a light that's unapproachable, it says. We would be vaporized if we were in the presence of God and His glory in our sinful state. By Jesus coming to the cross, He perfectly lined up with the will of God. And He made it visible for us to see the glory of God, and not only that, to be able to receive that glory within us. It's a great mystery, this alignment that happened. But He's given us natural illustrations. I believe this is something that God would do to illustrate some truths. It is true. Verse 5, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, thy glory above the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and answer me. God has spoken in His holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth, talking about different places, regions. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of my head, Judah is my lawgiver. These are the places of surrounding Israel and Judah. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast my shoe. Over Philistia will I trumpet. These are the nations that would be our battlegrounds. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, who has cast us off? Will not thou, O God, go forth with our host? Even though our relationship with God is severed and strained in some cases, God is still the one that goes before us. He still fights for us. Even though we struggle with God, that doesn't mean He doesn't fight for us. That doesn't mean He stops loving us. He's faithful all the way through. We sing of His faithfulness. We need to believe that. We are less than faithful. We stumble, we fall, we struggle. God is faithful all the way through. He promises to finish the work that He began in you, in fact. That He began in you. He promises to finish it, to complete it, your story. Give us help from our trouble, for vain is the help of man. In this particular song, one of the key truths that come out of it is vain is the help of man. As I grow older, I discover that is more and more true. All the people with their titles, Dr. So-and-so, I appreciate them. And Professor So-and-so and Specialist So-and-so, I appreciate them. And I thank God for them. But vain is the help of man, ultimately. My hope is in God. Amen. This comes at a national level when we look for a leader to lead us, or a government that will be the perfect government, the utopian government. We want it to be a such and such way. Vain is the help of man. Amen. We look to God to come. Through God we shall do valiantly. And that's the other side of the coin to this key truth in this particular verse. For He it is that shall tread down our enemies. The battle belongs to God. You've heard it. Here we see it expressed in this song. Through God we shall do valiantly. We shall be victorious. Psalm 109 is very prophetic. What's unique about the Bible? One of the unique things about the Scripture of God here that we hold in our hands, not only letters on a page, words breathed by God, but the prophetic. They're not stuck in one time frame. It's not ancient text. It's living. It's outside of time. You want to enter, we fantasize about these things, entering into a time machine. You do that when you read the Bible. You're entering into a place of timelessness. It's a living word. It becomes a now to you. It becomes effective now to you. Psalm 109 is speaking prophetically about Judas, in fact. Judas, one of the 12 disciples. Have you ever had a friend betray you? Knife you in the back. Of course you have, if you've lived more than a few decades anyway. But so has Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Let me direct your attention to verse 22 before I read it through. I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Jesus became a man. He descended from heaven, bred from heaven, became a man. He's poor, and he humbled himself. The poor and needy, he needs to breathe, he needs to eat, have water. He's poor and needy, he's like us. We're very needy people. Just stop breathing and you'll see how needy you are. We need things continually. But here we see that he is one, not only became man, but one with a broken heart. Broken from a friend that betrayed him. In particular, Psalm 109 is prophetic about Judas, one of the 12 that Jesus he chose. He chose Judas. I don't know if we can get how far we can get in the mystery of that. Jesus choosing this Judas. And ultimately, what would happen to Judas? Through here, you'll see some dark things being spoken of an individual who has come against him. In this case, it originates in David. As we see, it's titled to the chief musician. This means this must be played publicly, a Psalm of David. Whoever this is, we're not exactly sure. We know that David had plenty of those people in his life. He did it to other people as well. In the case of Christ, Jesus never did it to anyone. He never stabbed anybody in the back. His love towards Judas was perfect. In the conveyance of this psalm, you're going to see a lot of "let this happen to him." And so that's the key word of this psalm. A lot of preparation before I get into it, because some heavy stuff in here having to do with forgiveness. Forgiveness is not removing punishment and retribution. It removes you from taking vengeance, retribution, and that type of thing. So you'll see a key word in here called let, L-E-T, a very beautiful word, because it's a word that invokes freedom. It's a word that speaks of forgiveness, stepping aside from the anger you have and letting God. So as we read through some of the heavy things here, I want you to understand that this is a certain necessary element of forgiveness. It's removing yourself and it's allowing God to have that place of vengeance. Psalm 109 begins, "Hold not thy peace, O God, of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are open against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue." If you're in any kind of position of leadership, this comes with the territory. Unless you think you're special or different or greater than Christ, this comes with the territory. Any kind of leadership, be parent or whatever it is. This is the rebellion of man against authority. You will feel it if you're in a position of authority. Lies and these type of things. It's amazing some of the stuff that comes up that I hear about. The person called me and said, "So-and-so told me something about you." And I said, "Well, what was it?" I can't tell you. I said, "Well, it's probably not as bad as what I really have done in my life. So let's set the record straight and let's let them know how really bad I am. They can give them something to talk about." My goodness. But that stuff can poison people. I certainly wouldn't encourage that behavior. That's part of a sick heart. It's part of the heart that Jesus came to heal. One that would gossip. One that would lie against authority. One that would lie against someone because of jealousy. One that would lie against someone just because of out of a corrupt heart. This corrupt heart that we have. The distorted love that we have. The sinful heart. The sin nature. Deceitful. Truth mixed with lies, typically. Verse 3, they compassed me about also with words of hatred. Keep in mind, not only David being here, this is a timeless word. Jesus is also being expressed in the psalm with his relationships that he had. Maddie talked about relationships today. Preparing ahead of time, Psalm 108 is certainly a preparation song. Early in the morning, I'll be prepared for these things. They compassed me, they surrounded me with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. Man, that's a tough one to take. It's one thing if you deserve it, if you're a jerk and you deserve it. It's a whole nother thing to be wrongfully accused and people to make up things about you just because of a corrupt heart. Man, that's tough. That's one of the hardest things that I've ever experienced in my life. It's like you want to see where your flesh is? I don't know where my flesh and spirit is. Well, just allow that to happen. You'll know exactly where it is. Your flesh will rise up like a green monster and want to defend itself. Jesus talks about the scripture that he didn't speak a word, you know, in that context of fighting back, defending himself, that type of thing. For my love, verse 4, not for my jerkiness, not for my obnoxiousness. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. After being betrayed, Jesus went out to the Garden of Gethsemane. What did he do? He prayed. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. It's hard during that time. Can you imagine what was going through Jesus' mind? Maybe we've got a little picture of that here in the psalm. That prayer that he had in the garden where his buddies were falling asleep, except Judas was out betraying him. I give myself to prayer. So we talked about the preparation. Now we're talking about in the crisis. This is tough. It hurts. Your heart's been hurt. It's been broken. Jesus knows this hurt. He knows every aspect, every angle of it. You're not alone in this. For my love, they're my adversaries. The title of Satan is the adversary. In fact, it's a title. It's not a name. Satan means the adversary. There he is, the adversary. But I give myself unto prayer. So whether in preparation or in the midst of the storm, we're called to prayer. Because that's the battleground right there. That's the battleground. That's where we're armed. As James shared about the Ephesians, the preparation for the battle and in the battle. The application of the instruments in prayer. Jesus felt that betrayal during that time, in that prayer. You could think how many times the face of Judas would come in his mind during that time. And those feelings that we get. He was tempted in all ways. All these things would come to him, yet he would not entertain them to the place of bringing forth sin and seeking vengeance and all the things that come with that, unrighteous anger, unholiness. I just loved him. I loved him. I taught him all the things that I did and that he saw, the leper being healed. And he would do this. He would sell me out for crummy money. How could he? Forgiveness is about letting God take control of an area we can't handle as human beings. Vengeance doesn't belong to us. That's misappropriated when we're trying to do it. That belongs to holy God. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. All through the Bible is not unique. Think of Joseph being betrayed by his brothers, being sold. I mean, it's one thing Cain killing Abel, but it's another thing just to say, well, let's kill him. Well, maybe not. Maybe we can make some money off him. I mean, how distorted is the love of man? How corrupt is the heart of man? What's that corrupt? Well, mine isn't that corrupt. Yes, it is. Outside of the healing touch of Christ, your heart is that corrupt. Don't compare yourself to anybody else and thinking you're a little bit better, that's where pride enters in and Satan's got you. We're all in that boat, all deserving hell. We're all capable of doing such monstrosities. If you don't believe that, you're self-deceived, it says in the scripture. The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I am glad to give it to God every day. Present all of myself, as Terry shared, all of myself to God. Not hold on to my little bit of righteousness and then God heal my crumminess. Man, I'm corrupt all the way through, Lord. Crucify this whole sin nature. I need to be born new. I need to be made new. That's the solution that the cross brings, is a new creature. That's the delivery mechanism. Was the cross, was the death of Jesus. The result, what comes out of the oven, is a new you. A new creature. All things become new. You see things differently. You hear things differently. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. The one that's a perfect lover dwelling within you. That's able to love without strings attached. That's able to play the tennis game the way God plays it. I love you. I love you. An endless supply of balls. Not waiting for it to be returned. Well, you didn't give it back to me. I'll just be waiting here. That ball that hit you, it's over there, stuck in the mud, over there. God is an endless supply of grace. His glory is above the heavens. He just keeps loving us. He's faithful all the way through. Paul, I know you feel, I'm just going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep serving you. I'm going to keep serving you. Try play tennis like that someday with somebody. Try to bring it into real life. They have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand, an adversary. These are the things that are going to be culminated over Judas. But Jesus is going to allow the Father to meet that out, the perfect judge. When he shall be judged in verse 7, let him be condemned, let his prayer become sin. This is the song giver, the writer of this, in the case of Jesus or David, Joseph, whoever it is, it's all let these things happen, stepping aside and allowing God to do it. Let his prayer become sin, let his days be few, in other words, not heard. Let his days be few. Let another take his office. That became prophetically fulfilled. You'll see that out in Acts, verse 20 of chapter 1, where Judas is replaced, and we believe that would have been Matthias, and ultimately Paul as well. Let his children be fatherless. Let his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg. Let them seek their bread also out of their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he has, and let the stranger spoil his labor. None of these things are going to be done by David or Jesus to make this happen. He's not going to go deliver this to Judas, and neither is David to whoever this is. He is simply bringing this before God and allowing God to do it. Let is the key word here. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with the Lord, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before the Lord continually, that he may cut off the memory of them from the earth. Because he remembered not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. Interesting, Judas had a false presentation of that. You remember when the woman was showing praise and adoration to God, she broke that nard, that expensive ointment over Jesus' head, his feet, with tears, was anointing him. You remember how indignant Judas got? This could be given to the poor. But we're told also in the scripture he had no intention of that. It was for his own pocket. But I thought it was interesting, verse 16, that remember not to show mercy, but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. As he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. The reality of hell and damnation is not going to be excused in this pulpit. What you're seeing here are heavy things. Hell is real. The solution is the cross, to believe in Jesus Christ. I don't want this for anybody to be the reality, but the problem is it is a reality for some. We know for Judas this came to be, at least verse 8 did, that an occupation he was to take, that he was to have, was he was replaced. God put somebody else in there. I can't make a Disney movie out of Psalm 109. I can't do a happily lived ever after. This is hard. These are hard things. There are people that will choose to reject Christ, that have walked with him, talked with him, seen him do things. Always on the perimeter. Always on the perimeter, though. Always having their own agenda in parallel to whatever Jesus is doing. Kind of like making a, drawing a nice bath. You put the nice scents in there and a good stuff in there. And it's like, it's cold out, your feet are cold, and it's like, man, this is going to be great. But you don't ever get in. You've prepared it. You just walk around it. You talk about it. Yeah, I've got one of those nice warm baths at home, but you've never got into it. It's amazing to me. I'm sure it was amazing to Christ in the garden at that time of prayer, that he'd go as far as betraying him with a kiss eventually. As he loved cursing, so let it come unto him. So as he delighted not in blessing, so let it be far from him. As he clothed himself with cursing, like as with his garment, so let it come into his bowels like water and oil into his bones. A lot of lets here. Keep in mind that is you stepping aside and allowing vengeance, God to take the vengeance. Let it be unto him as a garment which covers him, and for a girdle weareth he girded continually. Let this be the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. But do thou for me, O God, the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I'm gone like the shadow when it declines. I'm tossed up and down like as the locust, the swarms rising up and down. My knees are weak through fasting. My flesh fails of fatness. I'm thinning out. I'm wasting away. I became also a reproach unto them. When they looked upon me, they shake their heads. Help me, O Lord, my God. O save me according to thy mercy. You're in the Garden of Gethsemane. You're on the cross. All of these things are speaking volumes to the betrayal of Christ, his disciples being scattered. Verse 27 is key. Is the other side of this let. Just like we had a key in Psalm 108. Vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly. Here we see a key, letting God have the vengeance. But verse 27 is the other side of that coin. That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Why do we turn these things over to God? That they may know that God, this God that you worship, is a serious, holy God. That they may know that this is thy hand, that thou, Lord, hast done it. Nothing about your vindication, nothing about you here. This is about them and God. Let them curse, but bless thou. When thou arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Let my adversaries be clothed with shame. Let them cover themselves with their own confusion as with a mantle. This person is hurt. Our Lord was hurt. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude. What do you think hurt worse? The whips into his back? The crown of thorns? or the betrayal. I don't think there is any pain quite like that of a broken heart. There isn't anything physical that can even compare. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yes, I will praise him among the multitude, for he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. As we get into Psalm 110 next week especially, we're going to look more at this Jesus Christ. This is very prophetic of him specifically. We're going to look at this demonstration. Now it's a very perfect eclipse. It's gone. We're going to look at this demonstration of the eclipse. You got a visual of it this week. I'll just begin the first verse or two here. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Still in the same context of God being our vindicator, God being the warrior, the battle belonging to him. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thy enemies. We'll finish in Luke 23 with that very solar eclipse. Bring us back to that thought. We'll start around verse 38 there. And then they put a superscription that's above the cross. It was written in three different languages, Greek, Latin, Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. One of the malefactors, or he had criminals hanging next to him, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. This is Luke 23, verse 39. Save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. Guy recognized that. This is the perfect one being betrayed. This is the perfect one being tortured for each one of us. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. 44 is the alignment. It's that perfect alignment. You see, when Jesus was walking around and he would tell people, he would heal people and say, your sins are forgiven of thee. He didn't say, Father, forgive them, as he's walking around healing. He said, your sins are forgiven of thee. He was in perfect fellowship with the Father. What he saw the Father doing, he was doing while he was on this earth. The cross put him in a place where he had to submit his own will to the Father in perfect alignment. And you hear him pray differently for his enemies. Instead of just saying, hey, your sins are forgiven, everyone. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see a picture of the Father now present with the Son on the cross and the radiance of that glory coming out. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it says darkness. It was about the 6 hours, about noon. There was darkness over all the earth until the 9th hour, 3 hours later. This is no natural eclipse. In creation, before the 4th day, before the sun and moon, the greater and lesser light even were there, that God could use those as an illustration. He said, let there be light. God was that light. I would propose to you that part of that light that was there initially in creation, they felt the drawing back of that supernatural light as sin was consumed on the cross and our precious Savior became sin on the cross for you and me. It's a mystery. It's a beautiful mystery. It's a beautiful story that's not just a story of the past. It's living in me right now. The gospel is all through me. It changes my heart. It changes my perspective. It causes me to be new and fresh and not grow stale. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for our gathering today. I thank you, Lord God, for those that came out, those that couldn't be with us. Lord, we pray for a blessing over them. Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen us for the battle ahead. on the global level, the things that concern us, and on the personal level. Remind us to prepare, Lord Jesus Christ, early in the morning, not just with coffee and whatever, but with praise, with all of our being. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for being with us today, and we love you, Lord. Amen.